If you don't listen to the mix radio, if you don't listen to it, you're depriving yourself of a whole lot of music that you would never go and find otherwise.
Welcome back to the Mix Files. I'm Cooter, your host. Our guest this week is Terry Ponder. He has spoken already. We'll let his guitar talk for a minute. You are listening to The Mix Files on Mixstream Radio from Exposure.com, and we appreciate that you are. This fine music is by Mixposure.com's Artist of the Month this month, and that would happen to be Terry Ponder, our guest this week on The Mix Files. There is some interesting conversation, killer music. Terry's a great guy. I made a new friend. I love this Mix Files gig. Listen to this music. Well, hope you enjoy it. The Mix Files, Terry Ponder. Here we go.
How did you get into music, Terry?
When I was about seven, I was born in Jefferson, Texas, and my dad worked with my Uncle Delbert, and so we lived right across the street from him in this little podunk. I mean, our street was made of dirt. You know, we lived on dirt road, and but we didn't have garages back then. We had carports. You know what a carport is?
Got one.
All right, there you go. Well, my older cousin, Michael, he had a country band, and they would set up on that carport, and they would practice, you know, for the shows that they would play on the weekend. And me and my cousin, Craig, you know, we'd sit out there, and we'd watch them. And as they go to take a break, we'd sneak in there and pick up the guitars and mess with them and stuff. And and the band, the guys in the band were really, really cool. I remember the guitar player, and I don't remember what his name is, but he came out there, and he sat down with both of us. He caught us on the guitars, and we were trying to run out of the room. And he called us back. He made us sit down, and he showed us how to hold it. Here, this is where you put your hands. This is where you put your, you know, don't rest your the underneath of the top of your arm too low down. It'll make the guitar stand up. He showed us how to hold it, and he showed us a D chord, and that was the first chord I learned. And from that point forward, every time they would get through rehearsing, we'd go in there and stand there and stare at him, and he'd show us another chord and show us another chord. So me and that's how I started learning, was from him. And of course, about 71, 1971, and Kiss Love Gun album came out about 2 years later after that. And we had already picked up a couple of chords. And so me and my cousin Craig would sit out and we'd paint our faces up and pretend we were Kiss. You know, and that's where I started learning guitar. But at that point, nobody ever gave me another lesson. After that guy showed us a D and A and a G chord. So that was it. After that, it was just off to the races. I fell in love with it and just started playing it.
Did you have a guitar of your? Well, I don't guess you did have one of your own at that point. How often were you able to practice?
Well, see, because Mike and let's see, my because my cousins. Well, my cousin Michael and my cousin Randy, they're both brothers, we're both in that same band. Randy played the bass, and Mike also played guitar. Well, they had guitars right there all the time.
Ah.
So they all had guitars, and so, you know, as long as we were careful and asked, you know, we could sit in there and play with them. So
you're pretty lucky then.
Oh, dude. I learned my first D chord, and it was on a Gibson 335.
Man. You know,
so it wasn't like I was sitting there playing an old Tesco or a plastic guitar or nothing. So, I mean, it was actually real instruments. So
my first guitar came from Rose's department store.
First one did. I mean, it came from a five and dime, and it was a Tesco, my first guitar.
Yeah.
$50 catalog guitar, you know.
Yep.
But, you know, I never played it much. I always ran across the street and played theirs.
Yeah. And why not?
Well, theirs would tune. See, mine would tune. And I knew it was supposed to sound good and just not like mine.
How did you finally learn how to tune one? Did somebody over there finally show you? Did you pick up a book somewhere, or?
I watched my cousin Craig, who was the same age as me. Actually, he's a year younger than me. I was over there one time, and I was trying to strum that my chord, and it was out of tune, and it was just sounding bad. And he grabbed it and he tuned it, and I watched where he did his fingers, you know.
Okay.
You know, you go down to fifth fret.
Yep.
it took me a couple of times to get the B string, because, you know, you got to slide down half a fret.
Right.
Or the G string. As you can tell, I don't read music. I don't know chord. I mean, I don't know where the notes are. It's all in my head. So
you ain't the Lone Ranger, man.
I understand.
Yeah.
So anyway, I watched him do it a couple times. Well, a couple times he had to keep showing me, no, this string, you go down half a fret, you know, for the tuning. But I just kind of watched him do it.
Yeah.
So that's where I learned. Now, I did learn later in life, probably when I was about 22. At the time, I would use a blowpipe, you know, to get my tuning.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I didn't have an electric tuner. I couldn't find my pipe, and one of my friends was over at the house. He says, well, you know, the dial tone for the telephone is A440. I said, you're kidding me. So we picked it up, and I tuned to the telephone dial tone. I started doing that for a while because I couldn't find my pipe.
I'll be darned. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, it's not that way now, but it was. And it was kind of weird because, yeah, I could pick it up and tune to the guitar, and I could play with any. I mean, tune to the telephone, I could play with anybody I was in tune.
How did you go from that to progressing into being in a band? I've looked at your Mixposure page, and I see that you've said you've been in some bands and such.
Right. Well, started off with, you know, like I said, just jamming with my cousin. But it was always, whenever we were over there learning anything, I was never by myself. I was never in a room by myself. So I was always with other people. And so, you know, like I said, he taught us a D chord and then an A chord and a G chord. And then me and my cousin Craig would sit out there together, you know, and play together. So I guess from the start, I always played with somebody.
What an advantage that sounds like.
It really was. It turned out to be one.
Yeah. I think that would take a lot of, the first time I played with a group of people, it was a little intimidating. Just because I'd never done it before. But heck, if you start right off
that way,
it's just second nature to you right off the bat.
Yeah, I never really did get nervous going in playing with other people. I mean, because if I did go in and play with somebody that was completely like out of my league, you know, or a different style or type of music that I just didn't have a handle on, you know, I wouldn't waste their time.
Yeah.
You know, I'd go in there and listen to them and say, well, guys, you're like completely out of my league, so you know, I knew my limits. You know, I'm a southern blues player, and you know, if I go in and somebody's playing jazz fusion, well, I just don't belong in that.
Yeah,
so I'm not gonna sit there very long. We would get together, me, David, and Wayne, and at somebody's house, you know, and we'd sit in there and we would all bring in things, because we didn't, you know, we liked playing, you know, the Beatles and all the, you know, the typical stuff at the time. You know, so we all liked playing that music, but we all wanted to be rock stars. So rock stars didn't just play other people's stuff. They had their own. So,
right.
You know, so we would all bring stuff in. So it was almost a competition, you know, between all three of us. And I got to admit, all of it was bad. All of it. it was some of the worst. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But some of the riffs and some of the little nooks and hooks and stuff like that, you kind of start picking up on as you get older. So I guess the very first song that I ever had any luck with at all, and actually you've downloaded it from there, was called I Caught the World Standing Still. And I wrote that when I was 18.
Thank you.
I got a weird setup that I use for recording my acoustic. It's weird. It's an Ovation, so you know, uh-huh. They don't sound good not plugged in anyway. But I like to get to that string, you know, the pick on the strings a lot, you know, so you can get the strum sound.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of times what I'll do is I'll use one of those I've got an AKG I can't remember what the number is on it. It's a lipstick mic, you know, those tube mics as well.
Uh-huh.
I'll put it, and I like put it facing in between the 12th fret and the sound hole. But then I take my actual vocal mic and I put it on a boom mic above my head, almost next to my ear. Because that's what I hear when I'm playing.
Yeah. And that makes sense.
So what I'll do is I'll plug it in. So I've got the electronic clean signal just from the guitar going to the direct box.
Uh-huh.
Then I use the lipstick mic on another track, and then I use the overhead mic on another track. So whenever I'm recording acoustic, I always use three tracks. You know, but
that's interesting.
I like to hear what it sounds like to me, because I'm above and behind the guitar when I'm playing it.
Yeah.
And I like the way it sounds back there. So I was like, you know, I like the way it sounds back here. I might as well put a mic back here to hear it too.
That's
and
cool.
I get a good sound.
That's cool, man. I've never heard that. I've never seen that done. I've, you know, of course, I have not been an engineer, and I haven't set up anyone to be recorded.
I've never seen anybody else do it either.
Yeah.
I just recently started doing it, and it sounds good.
It.
I mean, I did Let It Rain. I did that way.
But you are into producing, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. When I was 18, I wanted to work at a recording studio. And like I said, I wasn't real good at school. And my mom sent me to Chillicothe, Ohio. She saw this ad in the back of a magazine for this place called the Recording Workshop in Chillicothe, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And she said, you know, I know you didn't do good in school, and I know you don't really want to go to college, but I don't want you to be in a truck driver. She goes, so I saw this ad. Would you be interested? And she showed, and it was to learn how to work in a recording studio. And I said, yeah, I would love to. So when I was 18, she sent me to Chillicothe, and I was there for 3 months, you know, living in a cabin on campus there. And
Man.
There were people from all over the world.
How cool
is
that?
I mean, from France. Oh, dude, I loved it. I
wow.
ate it up.
Yeah.
When we went in, they had three different studios. They had the big production studio. They had a Studio B. And then they had a studio that where you go in and learn how to edit, cut tape up. And, I mean, people instruct you on how to do all this. So, you know, when I came out of there, I actually got a job working at the Ludwig Studios here in Houston.
Cool.
And I was, you know, got to be third engineer, which was... Basically, I got to record all the church bands that would come in from 2 a.m. till 5 a.m. in the morning,
uh-huh.
you know, that were coming in doing real cheap sessions, basically religious parody bands. You know, I remember the first group that came in was doing a parody of Beat It, and it was Read It, you know, just Read It.
Uh-huh.
and I'll be real honest with you, man, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was hard to sit through some of these sessions, you know, but I got to, I actually got to meet several major recording artists that were coming through there that I got to come in and assist, you know, some of the other engineers doing some stuff. Alice Cooper came through and I got to meet him. Very, very nice man. And it was a complete contrast of the other session with them, because when Cooper was in there, all he did was drink iced tea and smile and was just the nicest person, you know?
Yeah.
It was completely different from what I ever dreamed it would be with Alice Cooper, you know?
Yep.
But anyway, that's where things really took off for me wanting to learn production. Oh, and then there was an album that came out that same year by Yes, and they did that Owner of a Lonely Heart.
Oh, that's one of my favorite tunes all time.
The production on that entire album was just so phenomenal. That's what really got me into wanting to be an engineer and recording and dealing with recording studios.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where my production background comes from is, you know, my mom didn't want me driving trucks, so she sent me to a recording school so I could learn how to do something, you know, because she knew I wasn't going to be a rocket scientist, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not real at home with slide rules either.
Right. You know, if they can help me pick up a potato and eat it, I'm there.
Yeah, I hear you. Old friend, how did that come about? Is there a story with that?
That's actually about my cousin Craig, the one that I started playing guitar with when we were little kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, above and beyond just being cousins, you know, we were best friends for a long time. I mean, all the way up through, you know, when I was in my late teens, early 20s. I haven't kept in contact with him now for a long time, but I just remember I drove back into town one day to meet up with him, and we were standing outside of the old pharmacy where we used to buy Black Diamond guitar strings. When we'd go break a string, we could go buy just the string we needed from the pharmacy.
Wow.
You know? And it started raining and we ran into the coffee shop. It was Bob's Coffee Shop. And we ran into there to get out of the rain. And that's where that song basically came from, because I hadn't seen him in so long.
Yeah.
So, oh, that and a lot of my friends that I've lost contact with. I mean, I still think about them all the time. I mean, you know, people don't realize how much other people think about friends that they've had, you know, especially when you've been out of contact for years.
Yeah.
But you do. I mean, they pop up in your life all the time in thoughts and stuff. So that's what that's about.
Older.
How about Don't Ever Leave Me?
That's my wife. That was my wife, but she was stubborn. She didn't want to settle down with me for a long time.
Yeah.
It was funny when I first met her, she was best friends with the singer of The Trust, my friend Greg. She was best friends with his wife. And she showed up over there after her and her boyfriend broke up. And I thought, oh, man, this girl's hot, you know?
Yeah.
And she asked Robin, which is Greg's wife, about the drummer.
Uh-huh.
You know? And she was interested in the drummer, which was my friend Lance. And anyway, the next time we had rehearsal, well, she showed up again. Well, Lance actually brought a girl with him. And so she was kind of, you know, and I knew she liked Lance, but I don't think Lance knew it, mm-hmm. you know. So I told Robin, said, well, shoot, tell her I'll date her, you know. And that's how I met my wife. And it's sad that she liked the drummer first, but whatever.
Yeah, it's how the story ends.
Right. Well, yeah. Anyway, in the time that we were, in the times that we were dating and everything else, well, you know, there were times that she would, she'd kind of want to call it off, you know, and I didn't want to call it off. So it was that was what that's about. So,
cool.
You know, and in the end, you know, we've been together now 23 years.
I could pass through.
Walk Away was actually a song that that band I was with, The Trust, wrote in our garage. So it's basically, it's not really 100% my song, but the only person I've kept up with from the band is the old drummer. And I asked him, I said, do you mind if I record this? He said, no. He said, would the others mind, do you think? And he's like, well, hell, we ain't seen them in 10 years, so I don't guess they'd care. So I just did it. So it was actually, I mean, the whole band wrote that song. So, I mean, from first line to last line, each line in the song was contributed by, you know, one of the four members of that band. So that there's not a, so I don't, the story that came out of it, I guess, is just, you know, what we were feeling at that moment, you know, putting the song together. So the lyrics don't really mean anything. They don't look to a specific person or event. today. It's basically I stole that from Dave Gilmore. David Gilmore has a song on his solo album. I can't remember the name of it. There's No Way Out of Here. When you come in, you're in for good. I don't remember the name of the song, but it's got that E minor to D rollbacks.
Uh-huh.
And I was just sitting there just kind of messing around with it, but I didn't have the record on, so I wasn't playing along with him. So I was doing it in a different rhythm and in a different time signature. And I didn't really realize I wasn't playing what he was playing. And then when I went back and was listening to his record again, I was like, oh, well, what I was playing was different. And so I ended up making a song out of it. But basically, I stole that from David Gilmore.
You just didn't want to waste a good riff, did you?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It was just different enough that, you know, it probably wouldn't be pegged back to him too bad. So, yeah. But if anybody ever asks, I always up front tell them, oh, I stole that from David Gilmore. He's one of my guitar heroes. So.
Back when we were young.
page of Mixposure, the home page of Mixposure, is almost like a bulletin board for a little city.
Right.
You can scroll down that page, and there's blogs about, well, I put a blog up there each week about, there'll be a blog up there about your mix files that says it's going to be Terry Ponder this week. And, you know, be sure everybody understands what time it is. And I put links there for the chat room, and I put another link for the radio. And there's a place on the front page, on the home page, you can scroll down and look on the left. And whenever anyone uploads new tunes, they show up there.
Anytime anybody at Mix, anytime they need any help with music or production, if they've got a song that they want to record and they just can't get the sound that they want, I would love for it if they would call and say, hey, dude, put the music together for me and let me sing it. You know, or let me put a guitar track back on it so they can get a good sound, because, you know, some of these songs are just awesome.
I tell you what, I'll take you up on that.
Okay.
I'll take you up on that. I'll get an acoustic guitar part done, and I'll put a scratch vocal on it, and I'll send it to you. And is that what you're, is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's what I used to do with Norman all the time. He would send me like a, he'd send me, it would be a piano track with somebody singing and a click, 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 you know, just so I could have something to follow. And then I would take it and I would put the drums on it, bass on it, guitars on it, you know, or whatever else they didn't have, and put together the whole band and send it back, and then they would sing it.
If I send you something with just an acoustic guitar and a scratch vocal, and if I were to say, I'd also like to have a cello in this, and I know somebody on Mixposure who plays cello and will do it, I guess you could think through it enough to leave spots in there for a cello?
Oh, sure.
You got a deal, man. Within two weeks, within 2 weeks, you'll have something from me.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. See, this is, I love this kind of stuff. And I've never been exposed to it. You know, nobody's ever approached me.
Yeah. Well,
nobody's ever asked. So.
You've been asked now.
All right. And I'll be happy.
And I'm guessing, matter of fact, I'm not a betting person, but if I was a betting person, I think I'd bet that you'll probably get asked a few times after some people hear this.
Oh, and that's fine. Bring it on, because, I mean, let me tell you what.
Yeah.
You sitting in a garage for the past 10 years without a band, and so basically I'm doing everything by myself. David comes by, like I said, to lay drums for me, but it's a drum track.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a whole lot musically, you know, put in. I mean, he does. Now, he does come back and say, you know, maybe we ought to do this part with this stutter type deal or that.
Uh-huh.
But as far as somebody sitting there bouncing musical ideas off of you like you do with other people, I miss it so bad. And I believe that's a lot of the reasons I've become really stale.
Yeah.
Because everything I come out with is the same thing rehashed over and over and over again.
Well, what I'm saying is going to be, it's a little bit different.
That's cool.
I like originality.
I guess the main thing that I would like to do is I really would like to thank everybody at Mixposure for listening to my stuff and being so receptive to my music and being really nice. You know, I don't get a lot of the comments that I get are all, you know, they're all real nice and sugar-coated. But on the back end, I get emails from people that give me really good suggestions. People are honest in their answers. And I would, you know, if I did something that sucked, I would like somebody to tell me that it does. Because if I think it's good and everybody else thinks it's bad, you know, I want to know. You know?
Yes. Yes.
You know, so I do love the community of Mixposure. And I wanted to make sure that I got that out, because everybody's been just absolutely wonderful. And in a lot of cases, when I was doing, you know, trying to get back into music after everything that was going on with the family and everything, everybody's been just wonderful. It's an extension of the family. A lot of the people at Mixposures is like it's like an extension of my family, and I love it. And I wanted to make sure that everybody knew how much I appreciate everything from everybody, and some of the just most wonderful music that you'll never hear on the radio, unfortunately.
Well, you hear it on Mixstream Radio.
I hear it on that.
But commercial radio, no.
It's exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, because some of that music out there, you know, you don't have the money, you don't have the backing, and you don't have the name to get it on the commercial stuff. But if it was there, it would be a hit.
Yeah.
You know, and you hear all this stuff, and it's like, it's just an amazing community. I wanted to make sure everybody knew how much I appreciated being a part of that community.
That's a wonderful sentiment, man, and eloquently said.
Oh, thank you very much. I love going to the page and looking at everybody's stuff. I mean, like I said, I troll a lot. I mean,
yeah. It's
like, people may not know I'm there because I don't always sign in when I'm listening to music and stuff. But because a lot of times I'm listening at work, you know, I'll have a, it's weird because I'm on a help desk.
So
I got a headphone with somebody griping at me in one ear, and in the other ear I've got one ear, and I'm usually streaming the radio.
I guess that's one way to deal with some of the anger coming in your other ear, isn't it?
Let me tell you what, I hear some of the coolest stuff that I can't even remember what it was to get back to because I couldn't get off the phone quick enough to go see what song it was that I was listening to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's just a wonderful community.
You have been listening to The Mix Files. Our guest this week has been Terry Ponder. I know that Terry and I both hope that you have enjoyed this Mix Files. We sure had a good time doing it. Listen to this. Is some fine music, isn't it? The Mix Files comes to you on Mix Stream Radio from Mixposure.com. A new Mix Files premieres each week on Saturday Night Rocks. Saturday Night Rocks is on each Saturday from 7:30 p.m. until midnight, and there is a shift change around 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I started off at 7:30. Mike K takes over at 10 p.m. He generally goes till at least midnight, and there is no telling what might happen after that. Mike K is a wild and crazy guy. Terry, dude, I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did, brother. This was a good time. You're making some great music. I believe you're probably going to get some offers for some collabs after this. Y'all might remember he asked for them.
Some kind of fun will come out of this for you.
You can't beat that with a stick.
I agree. Terry, I keep saying I got to go, and I keep not going, don't I?
That's okay.
It's hard to cut a good time off, you know?
I understand.
I got to go, though, man.
Yeah, I do, too. My wife came home from Dallas, and I haven't even said hi to her yet.
I hear you. And apologize. Tell her I said, I'm sorry for hogging you for so long. But
that's okay. She probably got a nap out of my nap.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to you later, man.
You be safe, bud. Peace.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Mix Files.